The book of Hosea is filled with great lessons. But because it's one of the minor prophets, a lot of folks have overlooked this inspired book. Well, the content is not minor. It's the size of the book. The major prophets are longer, of course, than the minor prophets. So that doesn't mean they're more important, though. So Hosea needs preaching, as it is very applicable to our times. Now let me give a brief background as follows. Hosea was commanded to take a wife of the whoredoms by God, and her name was Gomer. Now she wasn't a prostitute when Hosea married her, but she would become unfaithful, unfortunately. But note that Hosea and Gomer had three children, which were named by God. Now, yes, Gomer did become unfaithful to Hosea. She had lovers. But he took her back. Yes, Hosea's love for Gomer was likened to God's love for Israel. He was ready to take them back. They had many lovers. They had strayed from the commandment of God and worshipped idols. So Hosea's message for Israel was revealing why the Israelites were going to be taken into captivity. And we want to look at this morning four factors which were involved in the downfall of the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins. And for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. And we all should know that stands for preparing for eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we come together to study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And then as we worship God and we strive to do so in spirit and in truth with the proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern, again, you would be very much welcome to join in with us here at the Morgan Street Church of Christ. We are a very friendly congregation, I can assure you of that. Now, something else I want to mention is having Bible studies is something we enjoy doing. So if you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience, please let us know. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, again, they're appreciated. So you can write to us. Again, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And one other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, before we get to our study this morning, let me mention again, we hope everyone will be very cautious as they're driving in the, the traffic that people are in a hurry to get where they're going and hustle and bustle in the holiday season. And folks that are intoxicated, unfortunately, and driving as well. So we hope everyone will be safe and enjoy the holiday season. Now, let's get to our study this morning, the downfall of the nation of Israel. And we want to look at four factors which were involved in their downfall. And again, this was the northern kingdom. So we begin in Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and transgressed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good, the enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Israel professed one thing, but did another. Yes, they were religious people, but not according to God's law. They had forgotten that God knew of their sins. Go back to chapter 7, notice verse 2. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. God sees all things. He certainly was knowing of their sins, as he knows of ours as well, does he not? We know that's the case. They were going through the motions of religion. Notice chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel hath forsaken his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send the fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. So they were going through the motions of religion, and that does not work with Almighty God. You know, America is considered a most religious nation, probably in the world. Well, the Restoration Movement began here, where preachers began going back to the Bible and striving to do Bible things in Bible ways, and being silent where the Bible was silent. Yes, they were restoring New Testament Christianity. Well, why is it now, with so much religion, the United States of America has such a high rate of murders? Yes, abortions. Millions upon millions of innocent babies slaughtered in their mother's womb. And all because they holler and shout, it's the mother's choice. It's her body. She has the right to choose. It's not her body. That's a lie. And we all should know it. But what about all the violent crimes now? People just going up to someone for no reason at all and hitting them with a baseball bat? Have we seen what's going on? And people are pushed into the subway, down in the tunnel there, or the place where the subway goes through. Well, anyway, we're seeing this on television, are we not? How many divorces are there every year for any and every reason, not staying with the Word of God? Well, notice what God said to the Israelites in chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. In other words, they were raw in their relationship to God. They were cooked in paganism. Verse 11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. They don't go to God, they go to pagan nations for their help. They were certainly raw in their relationship to God, yes, and cooked in paganism. Couldn't decide which way to go, Egypt or Assyria. Well, be assured, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. That applies to every accountable soul. What we sow is what we're going to reap. Are we reaping the seeds of corruption? Or are we sowing to the Spirit and reaping life everlasting? We better be sure that we're sowing to the Spirit. But let's go on in our study and notice chapter 8, verse 12. Here's another factor that was involved in the downfall of the nation of Israel. Verse 12, excuse me. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Israel counted God's law as a strange thing. They had forsaken God's law as they were worshiping idols. Verses 5 and 6. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. My anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? Notice verse 6. For from Israel was it also the workman made it. Therefore it's not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. Jeroboam, the first king of the 10 northern tribes, Israel, set up golden calves in Dan and Bethel. That's right, 1 Kings 12:28. And that's what was going on for how many years? And so you go to chapter 4. Let's go back to chapter 4 of Hosea and notice verse 6. This again is a factor involved in their downfall. They counted God's law as a strange thing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. They had rejected knowledge, the knowledge of the Word of God. And that was God's reaction to their ignorance. You noted. They would be rejected. Now today, how often do we hear religious people say that God's law is a strange thing? That's right. People today are doing the same thing that the nation of Israel did many years ago, even before Christ came into the flesh. Well, some say, for example, it does not matter what type of music that one has in the worship service. We can have the kind of music we like. Doesn't matter. The Word of God says different. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Where? In your heart to the Lord. Does anybody misunderstand that? What's the command? Specific command. Singing. The melody is to be in the heart, and it's done to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There again, parallel passage. And so, when one prefers something else, are they not doing the same thing that the Israelites were doing, counting the law of God as a strange thing? Well, that's sad to say, but that's what they're doing. Now, some say that baptism will not save you, but the Word of God says different. Peter, an inspired apostle of God, says it does. Baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter 3:21. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said, he that believeth and is baptized, notice, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Won't do you any good to be baptized if you don't believe. Of course not. So this is a strange thing to a number of folks. And also, how many people today, even in the Lord's church, are ignoring God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage? But Jesus gave one grounds for divorce, a scriptural divorce, when the innocent party is able to put away the guilty party that has committed fornication. They have had sexual relations outside the marriage. Matthew 19:9, it's very clear. Who misses it? Well, a lot of people want to miss it. They're counting the law of God as a strange thing. That's what's going on, isn't it? And what about church discipline? Not practicing church discipline when it's needed? Romans 16:17, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, 14 and 15. It's to get the person back that's become unfaithful, just as we discipline our children because we love them. And this is practiced with love if it's done properly. Well, let's go on and notice another factor that was involved in the downfall of the nation of Israel. Going now back to Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God, thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. Verse 12. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, whole woe also to them when I depart from them. Israel rejoiced over prosperity, but they were dying spiritually. Yes, they were enjoying a time of peace and prosperity. This period has been called the Indian Summer of Israel, as Assyria had not yet become a strong nation. So they had a false security. And the United States of America is also prosperous, and as we said, very religious. But is it not like Israel in that it is dying spiritually? Again, this relates to the church as well as our nation. Why are so many dying spiritually, even in the Bible Belt of our beloved country? Because many have forgotten God and do not depend on God. Material possessions have become for many a false security. But Jesus said in Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, the god of riches. This applies to Satan, the prince of this world. We can't serve both. We make a choice. Who do we choose to serve? Well, we need to be like Joshua. Me and my house, we're going to serve God, was his choice. We better do the same. Notice all the wealth that Israel used for Baal worship had been given to them by God. As we go back now to chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. You see, God means business. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. You see, Israel, yes, was, what were they doing? They were rejoicing over prosperity, but they were dying spiritually as they had forgotten God. They weren't depending upon God. Well, we must be aware that we can do the same thing as they did if we're not staying with a watchful eye. Watch and pray as we sing. Yes, we need to hold fast that which is good. Never turn it loose. In James 4, 6 through 8, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We don't want to become too comfortable as Israel did, but grow closer to God every day. But let us go on and notice the fourth factor now in the downfall of the nation of Israel. This certainly was a factor. Chapter 13 now, we'll notice verses 1 through 12 as time permits. Starting out with verses 1 through 6. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. Now, Ephraim is a tribe, yes, but it's also referring to the nation of Israel. I should have mentioned that earlier. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud, as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. You see, Israel destroyed themselves by sinning more and more. They fell deeper and deeper into sin. And before the division of the northern and southern kingdoms, the tribe of Ephraim had been exalted by God. As you study Genesis 48, 18 through 20, Judges 8, 1 through 3. So when Israel had respect for God, they enjoyed divine favor. But as they turned from God to idols, they forgot how good that God had been to them. Let us be determined never to forget God's goodness and mercy that he has shown to us all. Surely goodness and mercy, yes, he'll be with us if we stay with God. Psalm 23:6. They were severe consequences, as we've seen here in our study of Israel's rebellion against God. Notice now verses 7 and 8 of chapter 13. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Well, that was something that was coming, and we all know what would happen if you get between a bear, mama bear, and her cubs. Hoshea, the king of Israel, he became a servant to Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. But when Hoshea sent messengers to So, that is So, the king of Egypt, he brought no present to Shalmaneser. And thus Shalmaneser shut him up in prison, bound him and shut him up. Yes, he took Samaria and carried away Israel into captivity, as you study 2 Kings 17 through 1 through 6. So, after Shalmaneser died in a revolution back in Assyria, Sargon completed the takeover of Samaria about 721 B.C., just as God said. Now, Israel committed spiritual suicide, as you see here. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Verse 9, now through 12. I will be thy king, where is any other that may save thee and all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. So we see here they committed spiritual suicide, having rejected God. Israel's king could do nothing to save the nation. Now let's take this into heart. Is politics going to be our salvation? Well, of course not. The northern kings from first to last had led them into idolatry and rebellion against God. Just as today false teachers are leading many in the church away from God. We need to be alert and on guard. Now we ask this question before our time is up. Will America turn back to God or continue to go further away from God? We need to be prepared for persecutions. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. So like Israel, our nation continues to move further and further away from God. And notice Isaiah 5:20. This is a warning. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see, Israel was with a mocking spirit toward God. They argued against good, and we better not be involved in that. No, sir. We need to make up our minds, no matter what happens, we're going to do the will of God and stay faithful, even if it means our very death. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, we stand ready to assist you in hearing the truth, believing Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins, making the good confession, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and remaining faithful even unto death, and staying in the Lord's church, his body. We thank you so much for listening today.